Welcome, everyone, to episode number 85 of the Daddy Sharps Podcast. My name is Luke.
And I'm John. We're just a couple of dads who like to make the sharpest bets we can.
And John, we're just a couple of dads who this week break down the fights that your square buddies are too scared to break down. So last week we gave out our best bets for UFC Fight Night at the Apex in Las Vegas, which is happening this Saturday on April 27th.
And this week you're going to get round two, my man. Our best bets, including prop bets. So let's start with a quick recap of the best bets we shared last week. And the Daddy Sharps are going toe-to-toe in a lot of these fights. Yeah. We're against each other.
Yeah,
the daddies are fighting, sir. I don't like it.
It's going to be really interesting. And coupled with this week's bets, man, I think you're going to really make some money out there. Or at least I hope so. All right, to the bantamweights. Victor Henry is up against Ronnie Yaya. My best bet for that is I picked the heavy favorite Henry to win this fight, hands down, John. And you?
Took the big underdog. I took Yaya, the 39-year-old, to surprise everyone.
Big money. Big money, yes. Baby. Big money. Yes. Next up, a welterweight fight. We got Uros Medic versus Tim Means. I picked Medic to win that one.
We do agree on that one. I also went with the slugger. Took Medic to win this fight. But I do have a prop later in this broadcast.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. And in the featherweight fight between David Onama and Jonathan Pierce, I said I like Onama to win.
Daddy Sharp Luke, I could not disagree more. I like Pierce all the way in this baby. Give me Pierce.
He scares me, but another great breakdown tonight as to why I'm still on a couple, at least one bet in that fight as well. For the co-main event, a light heavyweight fight between Bogdan Guskov and Ryan Spann. Boy, I like Guskov to win here, and you and I were talking pre-podcast this week. We couldn't be further apart on this. This is going to be really, really interesting.
Yes, and you warned me last week in the podcast. I'm breaking my rule. Spann losing a lot of fights lately. I still like Spann to win this fight.
Well, he was a shooting straight to the top.
His record is so weird. When he faces top 10 guys, he gets destroyed. When he faces guys unranked, he ruins them in the first or second round. We'll see.
And finally, for the main events, we both had picks in this one. It's a flyweight fight. We've got Alex Perez facing Mateus Nicolau. Give me Perez all day long in this one.
This is the one that I think we couldn't be further apart. Perez has more fight cancellations in his last 3 years than he does have actual fights. I don't know if this guy really wants to be in there. Give me Nicolau all day long. The points fighter, sir.
All right. Sounds good. And now for this week, what are we going to like? We could like better odds from last week, or maybe perhaps do we like a fight ending in a specific round, John? Or do we like a fight ending by finish, or will it go to the scorecards? Why don't you start us off?
All right. So I'm going back to the fight that we disagree on. Pierce versus Onama. So right now, Pierce is sitting at minus 175. My best bet here actually pays plus money, my friends. Fight goes the distance, plus 130. Last week, I highlighted how I love Pierce in this matchup. Now I'm going to pick the method. Give me the fight goes the entire way. I see Pierce using his grappling skills, landing tons of takedowns in this fight. And when Pierce gets on top, he's incredibly good at controlling his opponent and riding him out. Onama has never been finished in his career. That includes fights against very hard strikers whose records are littered with finishes. This fight goes to the final bell, and you get it for plus money. I love it here. Fight goes a distance, plus 130.
No, it doesn't.
What do you got here?
Oh, like I said, I'm taking the underdog, Onama, in this fight. I'm going to agree with you a little bit. I think we agree here. I think Pierce's most likely strategy, grappling, trying to take Onama to the mat as often as he can. Am I right?
Yes.
Look, I can see this fight chewing up a lot of clock against the fence, holding on, wrapping up. If they do go to the mat, like you said, Onama has never lost by finish. Only two losses, both by decision and both in the UFC. He's 3-2 in the UFC. So here's what I like, and I wonder if we're almost speaking the same language here. I like this fight to go past 2.5 rounds, which is plus 105. And here's why I think that. I think Onama will win this fight. I really do. If, though, Pierce is going to win instead, if that's going to happen, it's almost like a kind of a hedge in my mind, even though it's not a pure hedge. I can see a scenario where Onama is potentially on his back late in the second round. 8 of Pierce's 14 wins have happened in the second round. 6 of those wins happened late in the second round. I like Onama to win here at plus 145. But just in case, I'm taking the over 2.5 rounds at plus money, plus 105, plus money. Let's go.
All right. We got 2 plus money best bets right off the top there. So we're kind of saying the same thing, but not
kinda.
Really. Kinda. All right. Means versus Medich minus 300 now is what Medich is. I think when we gave it out last week, Medich was minus 200. So obviously a lot of money has come in on Medich side this time. But this is actually my favorite prop of the entire card. And I knew this was going to be a prop that I was going to bet before I even gave my pick last week. I like fight ends by submission plus 550. And what I'm saying here is you're not going to put a full unit on it. I like putting a little sprinkle on here. Take the fight ends by submission. And I know what you're thinking. None of these guys are really known for their sub skills, but when you look at their losses, Means has 7 losses by submission, a lot of them lately. Medich has 2 losses by submission on the UFC level and only 5 fights. Not a full unit bet here, folks. Medich is known for his knockouts, and he will be going for those first. Kind of sounds like another fighter that Tim Means fought back in the day. Kevin Holland, a great striker, known for his knockout power, ended up getting his very first submission ever against Tim Means. I don't know if Medich is going to get the submission. I think he's going to, but this is something I'm going to sprinkle here. Fight ends by submission plus 550.
All right. I think, we're both on Medich, like you said, to win this fight. A ton of juice at minus 300, though. I like where you're going. I like what you're saying. I like what you're thinking here.
Yes.
I do. But like you said, these guys don't choke out a lot of opponents. We've got 2 strikers mostly here. Means lands a little more than 5 strikes per minute, 49% striking accuracy, 60% striking defense. For Medich, lands more than 5.5 strikes per minute. Outstanding. 60% striking accuracy. Like, looking back, Medich has a lot of fights that have ended in the late first and early second rounds. Same with Means. So I am betting this fight ends early. So here's the breakdown on the numbers that I looked up here. If you pick the fight to end in KO, TKO, disqualification, minus 165. That's pretty telling. Yeah. Either fighter gone in 60 seconds plus 900. I kind of like that. I like that a lot.
Yep.
Right? Under 1.5 rounds is plus 130. I like that. The over 1.5 is minus 150. So here's how I'm playing this. What I'm going to do. I'm putting a full unit on the over 1.5 rounds at minus 150. I'm putting a half unit on either fighter gone in 60 seconds at plus 900. I will wait out and bite my nails either way. either way, it's winning money. But during that time period where you've got to get to the over 1.5, in between. I'm going for it. I love that bet. I'm going for it.
I like it. And that submission one, we could see like a zoo tiger playing with his food here. You know what I mean? These guys are going to be trying very elementary submissions, trying to get them, and maybe it works. It's worth the risk for me to go plus 550. I really like that.
I like that too. Yeah. I like that too.
All right. I think this is one we can both agree on. Span? Maybe?
Yeah, I don't think so. Here we go.
Minus 190 versus Guskov. My best bet here. I like Span in round 1 plus 100 here. I highlighted it in last week's podcast that I like Span in this spot. He only gets beat by top 10 talent. I'm betting Guskov, 3 fights into his UFC career, is not top 10 level yet. Outside of top competition, Span is a quick finisher, crushing low to mid-level fighters in round 1. Usually, Luke, you know me, I take the safer route, bet by finish. But in this case, the math doesn't make sense. It's offered at minus 175 when you can buy Span to win at minus 190. So it's just not worth the risk for me there. So I am taking the plus money here, looking at his fight history, buying Span in round 1 against unranked opponents. He usually gets it done there, and he's won 4 of his 7 UFC wins in that first round.
And I would agree with you if this was 4 years ago. Look at you doubling down on Span. I'm on Guskov to win this fight, and it seems like I'm not the only one, John. I'll have you notice, and I'm sure you did. Span was a 2-1 favorite. Now he's down to -190. I'm just saying, tick, tick, tick. The dial's moving. The smart money's coming in on Guskov.
Yes.
I think, what do they call him? The Czech Zarian? The Sarzekian? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He is entertaining. I will give him that.
yeah, totally. And I suspect these fighters could take some time feeling each other out. At least, let me rephrase that. I'm hoping that they take some time to feel each other out and it doesn't end in that first round. Guskov, because he's up against Span, who might still be dangerous, maybe not. We're going to have to see. But this is an important fight for him, Guskov, who is a veteran fighter with 18 professional fights under his belt. Just not in the UFC. He's like 1-1 in the UFC, and he might be some tentative there. I don't think he's going to come out because this is really important for him. He's got to win this, and he's to get other contracts and keep moving through the business. For Span, his last win was a year and a half ago. And now the one-time up-and-comer Superman, he's given a chance for another fight. Come on into the UFC fight night at the Apex. It's not a big venue. I think that's telling. They're giving him a chance. Maybe that's a good sign, though. Maybe that's a good sign that he is going to do something great in the first round. If he's smart, I hope he doesn't come out swinging toe-to-toe. So I hope Span doesn't do that. He should be calculating, methodical, in my opinion. Two bets on this one. I'm going to take the over 1.5 rounds, which is +205. So I think the book would be telling you, maybe not so much. But I am really banking on this, that the under and all the money on Span and all the momentum on Span, overinflated. Overinflated because of what he was years ago. I'm also, though, going to sprinkle on Guskov to win by finish in case Span comes out swinging and he gets totally destroyed. We're really on opposite ends here. But yes. I'm really hoping that both of them just feel each other out for 1.5 rounds. Get that over +205. That is tasty right there.
Very nice. I don't know. I just can't go with you, though, sir.
I know you won't. And I'm not going it. It's, one of us is going to win big, and the other is not.
All right. So this next one here, it's the very first fight of the fight card. We got Maha Shate -200 versus Benitez. My best bet here, Maha Shate by finish. I don't see a line here yet, but it's going to be worth a buy, in my opinion. Benitez, 1-5 in his last six fights. Four of those five losses came by finish. Do I need to say any more there? Benitez, 35 years old, and it appears his chin is long gone. Maha Shate is a striker with one win by knockout already on the UFC. He's got age on his side, 11 years younger. This guy's only 24 years old, and we all know the stat by now if you listen to this podcast. A 10-year gap in the UFC, and the younger fighter wins 60% of the time. I like Maha Shate by finish, my man.
All right, I totally agree with you on that one. And what are we gonna have to do? Endure like another retirement in the ring and you put the gloves. Wouldn't it be cool if they set the gloves on fire or something?
And to be honest, I haven't seen the line yet. It'll probably come out tomorrow. But if he's offered -200, I don't think it's gonna be that bad of a buy. It's gonna be,
you wouldn't think so, but you'd want to buy that early.
Yeah.
Especially before all the weigh-ins and everything else.
Yeah, yep.
All right. So I'm going to break down this next three fights here, and I want you to jump in. I want you to interrupt me. I want you to ask questions. I'm going to ask you questions along the way. So I'm betting on all three women's fights on this card based on the fighters and statistics. John, did a little reading today. Did a little reading over the past couple of days, I should say. Pouring over data compiled by the UFC Performance Institute. Yeah, I nerded out. I totally nerded out. Specifically fights between female fighters in the three weight classes. Here's a quick breakdown of what I was looking at, which will kind of then inform what I'm thinking in the fight. So over the years, the average length of fights for everyone has increased, probably because of better defensive techniques. Fighters are better prepared physically. You know, the training methods have improved drastically. Maybe greater parity and matchmaking of fights. But overall, when we look at women's fights, they last even longer. In 2019 for women, the average flyweight fight lasted 12 minutes, 4 seconds. Bantamweight, 12:47. Featherweight, 11:44. Here's a breakdown of winning methods in women's fights. Flyweights, 66.7% of fights ended in by decision, 11% by KO, 21% by submission. Bantamweights, it's 58%, 27.5%, and 13% respectively. Featherweights, 41.7% by decision, 33% by KO, which kind of makes sense, right? And 25% by submission. And overall, for women's fights, the submission success rate is 60%. That's pretty impressive. They start going for a submission and they get it 60% at 6 out of 10 times. All right. Any questions or comments for yet?
Oh, you don't, I like that. I like that,
care.
Sir.
You don't even care.
So one thing that me and you have talked about off the podcast before is women's grappling and wrestling has not caught up to what guys have done.
True. So, I would agree.
The guys in their 30s have been wrestling for their entire life. My daughters are in high school now. They are just now, like within the last 5 years, have state championships for women's wrestling. So now these new fighters that are coming out are actually getting much better at wrestling and grappling and actually have that skill. They're not learning it as an adult. They're learning it as a child. So I could totally see why some of these numbers have gone up like that.
Yeah, totally. And I think so. And some of the numbers that I key in on, so a heavier fighter, bulkier fighter, you know, you're looking at more, less fights by decision, more KOs, obviously, and submission as well. But when you look at flyweights, because we're looking at three flyweight fights, women's fights in this, on this card, a lot of decisions because they just don't, but 21% end by submission. So not a lot of KOs, but by submission, that's kind of interesting as well. They get their claws in and they keep them there. So let's start out. We got a prelim strawweight fight between Ketlin Souza, a moderate favorite here at -345, fights as a flyweight and taking on Marnik Mann, who fights at 115 pounds. And I thought you'd get a kick out of this, out of Montana Mixed Martial Arts.
Well. Is that MMA?
MMA. Triple MA.
Triple MA.
Souza has 8 wins by KO, but not in the UFC. She lands more strikes per minute, but both, and this is where I want you to kind of chime in here, both land less than 2 strikes per minute in their weight class. Yeah, weight class that sees only 11% of all fights end by KO, but 66% end of those fights end by decision. So we know if they land less strikes, that it's not going to be a KO. So what's the best statistic here in this fight? What would you say? By decision, right?
Yes.
It's going to go the distance.
Yes. So
my first bet, you got to bet this fight to go to decision or take Souza by win by decision.
Agreed.
Better fighter. Now we're seeing that. I'm just, here we go. We're getting the momentum. Next, another prelim flyweight fight. Ivana Petrovic, heavy favorite, -500 versus Na Lang. Both, again, land under 2 significant strikes per minute. Lang has 11 wins by submission, but she's coming off of 3 losses. Petrovic averages, the heavy favorite, averages 2 submissions per 15 rounds, and her last 2 wins were by submission. So we have some more data points here that we've got to consider because there are big discrepancies between these two fighters. I don't think we can rely on the 66%, ending by decision in this weight class. But we've got now someone who actually ends people by submission, a massive line favorite by -500, and 21%, the next best statistic, and they're both not good strikers, they don't land punches, is 21% of flyweight fights end by submission. So I am betting this fight to end by submission.
Let's go. I like where you're going with this.
Yeah, see? And you're going to get a better number than -500. All right, finally, on the main card, another flyweight fight. And we've both seen Silva, Karin Silva, not a heavy favorite here, -155. So you get better outright on the money line and you know, win some money. It's not the best odds, but in the fight game, it is pretty good. Ariana Lipsky is the contender here. So we've got a striker versus a more well-rounded fighter in Silva. Lipsky lands 4.2 strikes per minute, just straight out boxing. Silva, 3.3. Silva, though, averages more than one takedown a minute. Lipsky, next to none. Silva averages more than four submissions per 15 minutes. Lipsky, next to none. Again, here we go. You think maybe there's going to be a striking game here, and it's a really close match. Now, instead of a huge discrepancy in the line, minus 500, with a much better fighter, we've got a pretty close fight on the main card. Huge discrepancies on the mat say this fight is not going to go the distance. I'm ruling that out. So I can't really rely on this fight going that far. It's not going to end by KO, according to the statistics, necessarily. So we've got a huge discrepancy to consider. It narrows it down statistically that this one will also end by submission. And I would take Silva also by submission. Did I make my case?
You made your case. And for people that have listened to this podcast for a while, nobody can argue with Daddy Sharp Luke on the female fight game.
You have picked
some very long dogs, and they have won on the female side.
You know why? I think it's because just what you said at the top there, just because of time, really. It's just time over time.
Yeah.
Male fighters have had more access to the sport, et cetera. I mean, I was telling someone the other day that, you know, when I was in middle school, they would, at some point in the winter in PE class, they would split us all up and say, okay, boys, come on over here. We're going to go wrestle. And girls, you're going to stay in here. You're going to learn how to square dance.
Right. Yes. I remember those days.
Through Title IX. I mean,
yep.
So that's the point, though. In terms of gambling, I think that turns in our favor a lot of times, because we do see some fighters coming in with great skill sets, but then there's a discrepancy between those skill sets and the statistics, and it's easier to pinpoint where the value of the bet is, in my opinion.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
Yes. Nice breakdown, sir. Breakdown. I like it.
Thank you. And on that note, unfortunately, but fortunately, because I want to get to fight night now.
Yes.
That does it for the Daddy Sharp's podcast this week. But remember, always gamble responsibly and within your means, and the bets we share are based on our own research. We don't always win.
Be sure to check us out on social media. Look for the Daddy Sharps on Facebook and at Daddy Sharps on Instagram and Twitter. Insty, as the kids say.
Insty.
We'll be back next week with all our best bets and much more.
John, I got a question for you, though.
Oh.
Who again is your daddy?
We are.
Stay sharp, everyone.